Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We appreciate this music team leading us in worship today and for what God is doing and how people have responded here to the presence of the Lord. I want there to be liberty in our services to respond to God's presence. Amen. I don't want it to be bound so tight by the flesh or bound so tight by tradition that we can't allow room for the Spirit of God to move. Amen. Amen. I want God to have his way in our services. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Amen. Verse 12, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe we are seeing the fulfillment of this verse. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Are you thankful for that today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, and thank you for the fire that goes along with it. Amen. Come on, we need the Holy Ghost and fire. We need the Holy Ghost and fire. Let it burn in us. Let it move us. Let it change us. Let it transform us. Let that fire grow. Let it burn. Let it spread all over Springfield. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost and fire. I preach to you today, what is Pentecost? What is Pentecost? God bless you. You may be seated. She's old, and yet she's brand new. She's respected and respectable, yet she's full of wildfire too. She's well known, and yet she's unknown. She's anchored like no other, and yet she's turned the world upside down. Who is she today? She is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not talking about one of the dime a dozen denominational churches in the Yellow Pages. I'm not speaking of some stale sect of religious tradition. Oh, no. But I speak today of the one and only church, the first church, the one that goes all the way back to the day she was born in Jerusalem. And today we celebrate that church, and we wish the church a happy birthday today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know if you realized it, but it's the day of Pentecost, and this is a Pentecostal church, and we celebrate the birth of the church of the New Testament, the first church. Hallelujah. She's around 1,980 years old today. Around 1,980 years old today, yet she's as young as ever. She's truly a survivor. She has endured those that have been promoting false doctrines since her very beginning. Great persecution, adversity, and demonic attacks have done their best to destroy her. She's experienced attacks from within and attacks from without. There's been those who have perverted her teaching and have started wars and persecutions in her name. There have been others who have abused her principles to bring themselves earthly power. Oh, she's a survivor, all right, but she's much more than that because she's full of fire.
She's full of fire. She's endured the fires of adversity while in turn spreading the fire of revival all around the globe. Persecution set out to destroy her, but it only resulted in sending her message even more throughout the world. The Roman Emperor Nero, he used to burn her members in his gardens at night, but that fire only served to fan the flame even hotter, and revival has grown and revival has spread. Oh, she's more than just a survivor, but against every attack that's come against her, she's remained victorious and will be victorious even in the end. Hallelujah. It does not matter what hell may bring against the church, for the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church is going to be victorious. The church is going to have power all the way to the end. The church is more than just a survivor, but it's on fire with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. She's the church who was born on Pentecost Sunday. She's the church that's reached to every tongue and every tribe. She's reached every nationality, every status of life. She's the church that Paul described in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, as being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And we celebrate her beginning today. Some 1,980 years ago today, on the day of Pentecost, this is the church's birthday. This is the church's birthday. Hallelujah. And oh, what an important day it is. More crucial than the day that you or I were born. More meaningful than the birthday of any president or king. More far-reaching than the birth of any country or nation. The birth of the church is more momentous than any other date, because in her gospel, it's the salvation of the whole world. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of the Savior of the whole world. It's the gospel of the one who bled and he died for his church. But not only that, not only did he die, but he rose again on the third day. And it's the infilling of his spirit in the church's members that gives us the power to walk right. It gives us the power to talk right. It gives us the power to change our world. It gives us the power to one day go to heaven with him. Are you thankful for the church? Are you thankful for the Holy Ghost? Are you thankful for the power, the Holy Ghost in fire? Hallelujah. But ye shall receive power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I see Springfield, Missouri, right there. I see Nixon, Missouri, right there. Come on, I see Christian County. I see Greene County. I see Southwest Missouri and beyond to the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, is anybody thankful for the church? Is anybody glad you're in the church? Is anybody happy today to be celebrating Pentecost, the beginning of the church? Hallelujah. Oh, well, what is Pentecost anyway? Of course, the day of Pentecost is the church's birthday. But what is Pentecost Sunday, and what does it represent, and what does it mean for us here today? The word Pentecost is used only three times in the Bible, the entire Bible, only three times. Paul used it twice, and Luke used it once. Yet its lack of mention is no way it does it diminish its importance. Pentecost went by many other names, including the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Weeks, and on and on, but over time, the name Pentecost stuck. And the word itself has its roots in the Greek word Pentecostes, which means the 50th day after Passover. The Jews had three significant feasts, and each of them was associated with the harvest. The Feast of Passover occurred at the same time as the barley harvest. The Feast of Tabernacles took place at the harvest of olives and grapes. The Feast of Pentecost was linked to the wheat harvest. And on each of these three feasts, the Jewish males would all come to Jerusalem. And 50 days after the Jews had celebrated Passover, they celebrated again. But this time it was the feast of Pentecost. And on that year, just after the crucifixion of our Lord, Jewish people had gathered from far and wide all around the world. They had come to Jerusalem to celebrate. They had come to celebrate a feast day. But God had something much more powerful in mind: the birth of His church. Hallelujah. Have you ever showed up somewhere and got more than what you expected? Oh, come on, have you ever showed up to pay a bill and the bill was much more than you expected? Come on. Oh, or you started a project and when you got into it, it ended up being much more than what you planned for. I want to tell you, with God today, the more than we thought it was going to be is always on the good side. Amen. I tell you, we gave Him everything we had. It wasn't much, but we gave it to Him anyway. And He gave us back more than we ever deserved. Oh, He gave us beauty for ashes. He gave us joy for mourning. He gave us the garment of praise for heaviness. Oh, how many times have we come to church not really expecting much? Well, it's just going to be an ordinary service, and I don't really feel like going, but I guess I'll go because I need to go. And then the Spirit of God gets to moving, and the Holy Ghost gets to working. Oh, maybe we've been struggling to pray, but all of a sudden there's a liberty that comes, and it's easy to pray, and it's easy to worship, and it's easy to feel the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, there's more than what we expected here today, because God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we would ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What is that power? It's the power of Pentecost. It's the power of His Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Ghost and fire. Shatabaha. And that's what happened in the upper room. They were there waiting on the day of Pentecost, waiting for the promise of the Father. We read in Acts chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now reading on, it says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, there was a noise. It wasn't a quiet little church service, but there was a noise going on. There was a moving of the Spirit going on. When this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Well, then how do we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? They were just in town for the Feast of Pentecost, but they got more than they expected. And verse 12 says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Now, what kind of church service were they having in order for people to think they were drunk? Come on, what kind of church service was going on in that place for people to look around and say, these people are crazy. These people are drunk. What in the world? This is not what I'm used to. But I want to tell you, they felt the Lord. They felt the power of the Holy Ghost. They felt it reaching for them, and it drew them there. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose. He didn't necessarily say they weren't drunk. He just said, these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing this is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men dream dreams. Hey. They got more than they expected that day because 3,000 of them responded to the command of Peter. He told them to repent. He said, you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 1980 years later, I want to echo the words of Peter. If you want to be saved, you got to repent of your sins. You got to ask God to forgive you of all your sins. And you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, if you've not been baptized, we've got the water ready. It's warm. It's ready to go. You don't need to leave here without being baptized in the name of Jesus today. And it's a promise that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'd like it to happen here today. I want to see it happen here today. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you've not received the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you've not ever spoken in tongues like they did in the Bible on the day of Pentecost, I believe if you'd reach for that today, if you'd repent of your sins, if you'd open up your heart, if you'd begin to pray and receive what God has for you, I believe if you'd claim it by faith today, the Lord wants to fill you before you leave. Amen? Thank God for that power. What is Pentecost? What is Pentecost? Real quickly, there's three significant things about Pentecost that we want to look at. First of all, we see that Pentecost represents the number 50. 50. All throughout the Bible, we see the importance of numbers represented, what they represented to God's people. And the number 50 has a special place in every Jewish heart. In the Old Testament, after a period of seven sevens, or 49 years, the 50th year belonged to the Lord. It was the year of Jubilee. And over time, Pentecost, it became an annual Jubilee for the Jews. It was a time of deliverance. It was a freedom from bondage. It was a time of rest. It's something that on this very day, the day of Pentecost, that day of Jubilee, that the Lord would pour out His Spirit on the church. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, it became the rest and the refreshing prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah 28, verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to this people, to whom He said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. There was many that would not listen to what God had in store. They wouldn't listen to the voice of Isaiah. But there are many who did listen on the day of Pentecost. And I pray that there's many here today because we need that rest. We need that refreshing. We need that power of the Holy Ghost. We need this day of Jubilee. 50. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, Leviticus speaks of how when seven Sabbaths were complete, after the day of Passover. So 7 weeks after the Sunday, after the Passover. 50 days after Passover. Why does the Christian church celebrate together on the first day of the week? Why don't we meet on the Sabbath? Why don't we meet on Saturday? We meet on the first day of the week, on the Sunday, because that's when Pentecost was. That's when Pentecost was. It was on the first day of the week. It didn't happen on Saturday, the Sabbath. It happened on Sunday. And after the Holy Ghost fell, 50 days after Passover, on a Sunday, the New Testament church, it kept up the practice of keeping Sunday, the first day of the week, as a memorial day, the Lord's Day. Because He arose from the grave on a Sunday and His Spirit was poured out on a Sunday.
Hey, we can meet any day of the week. That's not the issue. And we ought to meet often. We ought to meet not just one time a week. But there's something special about the Lord's Day. There's something special about giving Him the first day of the week. I don't want to come and give Him my leftovers at the end of the week, but I want to start the week out right, and I want to put Him first, and I want to serve Him first, and I want to worship Him first. And so today is the Lord's Day. Today is 50 days after Passover, 7 weeks after Easter. It's the day that our Savior rose from the grave on Easter, and now it's 50 days later. There's no telling what God's going to do here today. I wish that somebody could just forget about all the stuff happening in your life right now. You can just put everything that happened last week just out of your mind and forget about everything you're facing today and this week. And I wish you could focus on the Lord. This is the Lord's Day. This is the Lord's Day. This is Pentecost Sunday. And so we're going to believe for the impossible today. Praise the Lord. So the number 50, it's significant about Pentecost, but the Jews also believe that God gave the law to Moses. He gave the law to Moses on the day of Pentecost. And so they kept the feast of Pentecost in remembering the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. And when the Jews would make that journey to Jerusalem for Pentecost, they were celebrating Moses' pilgrimage to Sinai. If you read Ezekiel's prophecy about the Holy Spirit being poured out, we see this foretold. It says in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." Pentecost was a revival of the statutes and the judgments of God. And so today, on this day of Pentecost, God is calling every one of us back to the foundation of His Word in our lives. If we want to truly be Pentecostal, if we want to truly be apostolic, then we have to live by His Word. Amen? Acts 2:42 tells us, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." I want to tell you, there's many in this world today that they're looking for the power of God's Spirit. They want the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. They want the anointing of God to bring miracles in their lives. They embrace speaking in tongues and the outpouring of God's Spirit, but they're not interested in the statutes and the judgments of God. They're not fully interested in living according to the Word of God. May this day of Pentecost, let it be a revival of the Spirit of God, but let it also be a revival of His Word, that we would love His Word, that we would live by His Word, that we would embrace His Word. 1 John 5:2 declares, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and kept His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." His commandments are not a burden. It's not a burden to live by the Word of God. It's not a burden to live according to this truth. It's not grievous. It's not hard. It's a joy to keep the commandments of the Lord. It's a pleasure to live according to His Word. When we're full of the Spirit, it's not hard to live by what He says to do, but it's a joy. Come on, let's get full of the Spirit today, and let there be a revival of the Word of God, of the commandments of God, of the judgments of God. Third thing significant about Pentecost is it was the fulfillment of John the Baptist's promise. He said in Matthew chapter 3:11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire."
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the closest followers of Jesus Christ were filled with that Holy Ghost and fire. John the Baptist said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He went on to say in Matthew 3:12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Either we will burn with Holy Ghost fire, or we're going to burn in unquenchable fire in hell. I don't know about you, but I'd rather choose the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, bring the fire. Lord, send the fire. Lord, let the fire fall. Let it burn in me. Let it burn through me. Let it burn all around me. Let it touch everybody I'm around. Let it touch the people on the pew next to me. Let it burn in my home. Give me the Holy Ghost and fire. If you notice, John spoke of the wheat harvest. It's interesting to see that the wheat harvest was at the time of the Feast of Pentecost. And John prophesied about it. He foretold that the outpouring of the Holy Ghost would occur during the time of the wheat harvest, and it did. John the Baptist gives this metaphor of the church being like the threshing floor. The threshing floor. At the time of the wheat harvest, they would bring the wheat, and they would take the wheat, and they would toss it into the air, and it was tossed into the air along with the chaff. And as it was thrown up in the air, the wind would come, and the wind would blow away the chaff, and the wheat harvest would fall back to the ground. And then the chaff was burned up while the wheat was gathered into the harvest. And Harvest Ministries today, I want to tell you the wind is blowing through this place. The wind of the Spirit is moving in this house today. And God's Spirit is dealing with lives, and he's touching hearts here today. And I want to tell you there's a harvest. Oh, there's a work to be done. Can we hear that voice? That voice that sang, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight." Don't you know that God's about to wrap this thing up? Come on, are you aware at all of prophecy today? The United States and the nation of Israel celebrated together as we moved our embassy to Jerusalem this week. And this past Monday, they declared it the capital of Israel. And you watch, there'll be other nations that are following. Already, they're following. And news reports stated this. They said, first the embassy, next the temple. First the embassy, and next the temple. In the words of Jewish activists that are dedicated to rebuilding the temple, they are now declaring President Trump's role to be like that of Cyrus, the Persian king who ended the Babylonian exile and helped to build the second Jewish temple. Are you aware? God's about to wrap things up. God's about to wrap things up. If that wasn't significant enough, Monday was the 70th anniversary of the rebirth of Israel as a nation. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. It's all coming together in his timing. Why didn't any of the other presidents who promised to keep that they were going to move the embassy to Jerusalem, why didn't it happen under any of the other president? Because it wasn't God's timing. But this year, in God's time, it came to pass. And I believe that for somebody in this house today, that this is God's time for you. This is the moment that you've been waiting for. This is the moment that you've been praying about. It's God's time to fill you with his Spirit. It's God's time to renew you in the Holy Ghost. It's God's time to set you on fire for the work that he's about to do. Come on, he's gathering the harvest. He's bringing in the harvest. He's bringing in the reward. Come on, I want to tell you, it's time to have revival, and the Holy Ghost and fire is going to bring revival all around the world. Come on, somebody check your calendar. Come on, somebody check your calendar. What day is it today? Come on, what day is it today? What is this day? It's 50 days after the Passover. It's been 7 weeks since Resurrection Sunday. It's the day of Pentecost. What is Pentecost? Acts 2 and 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, we're here, and the day of Pentecost is fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. Oh, I wish that we could get in one accord here today. I wish we could get in one mind and in one accord, and for the next few minutes, believe that there's going to be a supernatural outpouring, that God's Spirit's going to do a work that man can't do, that flesh can't do. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I wonder if you stand with me today. There is no better day to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost or to receive a renewing in the Spirit than on the birthday of the church on Pentecost Sunday. I just believe, I'm just crazy enough to believe that if we would get in one mind and in one accord, that throughout this house that every single person could leave here today full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Come on, I'm not talking about just a little touch in our emotions, but I'm talking about a fire that's going to transform us, a fire that's going to go with us, a fire that's going to touch everybody around us. Come on, is anybody have faith enough today to say, I want to see it happen? I want to see it happen. All right now, we're here on Pentecost Sunday. We're here in a Pentecostal church. Harvest, we claim this as our roots. We claim this experience as our roots. The very same day that the church was established today, on the day of Pentecost, some 1980 years ago, we believe the same doctrine. We practice the same teaching. We believe in holiness like the first church. Come on, we believe in separation from the world just like the first church. We claim miracles and healings and deliverance just like the first church. And we believe in the power of the Holy Ghost just like they did. And so today we're going to believe for His power to fall and touch, for Him to fill and Him to heal and Him to deliver and Him to encourage and Him to bring rest and refreshing today. Is anybody here today, you need a refilling? I just wonder, is anybody, you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost? Would you raise your hand right now? By faith in Jesus' name. Is there anybody here today that you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost? You've never spoke with tongues, but you want it to happen here today on the day of Pentecost? Is anybody here today that you'd like to see that happen? Come on, anybody here today that you want to receive this gift? Amen. Well, we're going to believe, we're going to all leave here filled today. Is there anybody here today, you need a healing in your body? I just wonder. Come on, is anybody you believe for healing today in Jesus' name? Come on, we've got several over here. We've got some over here. Come on, this is the day of Pentecost. It's the day the church was born. And the Holy Ghost and fire has already been moving. He's already been working. What we're going to do, we're going to come. If you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost, or if you need the power of the Holy Ghost to fill your life for the first time, I want you to come first and I want you to gather in time. And if you need a healing in your body, I want you to come with Him by faith. And if you need deliverance, or you need a miracle or a financial miracle, I want you to come and I want you to believe God that something's going to happen supernaturally here today. If you're here today and you're full of the Holy Ghost and you don't have any problems in your body and you don't have any issues at home and you got all the money in the bank account you can worry about, then I want you to come by faith with these people here today, and we're going to believe for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, would you come? Would you come by faith in the name of Jesus? Lord, we believe You for a mighty move of Your Spirit in this house. Lord, we need Your power. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost in fire. We need healing in our body. We need deliverance in our mind. We need Your touch in our home and family. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're going to do something together right now. Brother Sean, I want you to do this with me. I want you to pray this with me, okay? I want every one of you to pray this with me today. We're going to ask God to forgive us of our sins. You may have just asked Him to forgive you in pre-service prayer, but we're just going to be in unity right now. Is that all right? Is anybody back there? You'll pray with me. You'll ask God to forgive us of our sins. Come on, wave it, Pastor. Come on, we're gonna be in unity right now in the name of Jesus. We're going to ask Him to forgive us of all the junk, everything we've done in the past, everything we did yesterday. Maybe you did it this morning. Maybe you've got a thought on your mind. You need to ask God to forgive you right now. Let's repent right now. Lord, I pray that You'd forgive me. Forgive me of every sinful thing I've done, Lord. I'm sorry for it. Forgive me of every sinful word I've spoken, Lord. I pray that You would cleanse me right now. Lord, forgive me of every sinful thought. I pray that You would purge my mind. I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind right now. Lord, forgive me of every sin. Lord, I don't want to live that way any longer. I don't want to do those things anymore. But I pray that You'd forgive me, Lord. I repent. I turn away from it. I pray that You would give me a new life today. Amen, amen. I've asked this music team to get ready to sing and rejoice and lead us in worship. And this is not a funeral service, okay? The only funeral we're going to have around here is if somebody's baptized in Jesus' name and the old man's going to die and they're going to be a new creature. If you're here today and you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, I want you, if you're a man, I want you to see Brother Medling. Wave at everybody, Brother Medling. If you're a woman today, I want you to see Sister Tucker right here. Wave at everybody. If you need to be baptized before you leave here today, come on, go see them, and we're going to make plans to baptize you. We've repented of our sins, and now we're going to pray a prayer of faith. And I want you to respond with faith. And when we get done praying this prayer of faith, I want you to scream. I want you to yell. I want you to say hallelujah to the bottom of your spirit. And we're going to believe that the power of the Holy Ghost is going to sweep through this house. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Dear Lord, we come to You today on the day of Pentecost, on the day that the first church was born, and God, we're asking for the same experience in this house. I pray that by faith right now, there would be a miracle, that the power of Your Spirit would sweep through, that You would touch every heart, that You would touch every mind. I pray that You would let the Holy Ghost and fire burn. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, let the Holy Ghost fall. Lord, let healing go forth. Let deliverance go forth. Let there be a miracle in this place in the name of Jesus. Come on, would you rejoice? Would you receive it right now? In Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit, rain down on us. Holy Spirit, rain down on us. The Holy Spirit, rain down on us. Holy Spirit, rain down on us. Like the mighty wind, blow through this house, open up the heaven, blow Your Spirit out. Pour Your Spirit out and rain, Lord.